Recapping as we go back a little bit, just going back to this week, it's great to win, especially when you talk about a conference game on the road where you had to play for 60 minutes and you had to kick a game-winning field goal and a very exciting finish. To win a conference game, it's great to win. I thought there were an awful lot of positives in this game when you looked at it, and there were a lot of things that we can build on, but there were certainly some things that we need to clean up as well. And we continue to talk as a team that we're a work in progress, and we still need to keep getting better. I think when you look at the college football teams that are going to be successful, it's not those that start strong, but it's those that continue to improve and get better to finish that way. I thought defensively our front seven played an excellent football game. When you look at what they did with 5 sacks, 12 tackles for losses, just the way they hammered the run at 2.6 yards per carry, and most of that was the perimeter when they were keeping the ball as a quarterback on the perimeter or handing the jet sweep off. But I thought really did a great job up inside with the interior, with the linebackers and the defensive line. I thought played really well. I think when you look at outside of the really the two big play passes that were about 100 yards of offense that they had, both for touchdowns, I think the secondary did a pretty good job of playing run support and also containing the passing game. But the two big play passing touchdowns are the things that we got to eliminate. We have given up way too many big play passes this year, and it's one of the things that we've kind of prided ourselves on, that that we're not going to give up the big play. We're going to make them earn it. And yet they were able to get two of them. Both of them were zone coverages. We had a safety take a bad angle to the slant route, and they went untouched for 2 touchdowns. And those are some things that we've got to clean up as a defense. But overall, I was really proud of the way that the defensive front played. Jalen Ferguson with his first career start, a lot of energy, exciting. He is a very talented young man. Just to have the opportunity that he got, I think he made the most of it for sure. And Vontarius Dora and Vernon Butler and Aaron Brown continued to play solid, along with the four main linebackers right now. When you look at Nick Thomason, Bo Feet, C.J. Cleveland, and Lloyd Grogan, and the way they played. So I think there's a lot of good things going on with our front seven. We've been able to stay relatively healthy. And those guys, I think, right now are just progressing and developing, and we need to continue to build our depth. On the offensive side of the ball, I thought it was another solid performance with our quarterback. I thought Jeff Driscoll played a really solid football game. We gave him the ball 44 times and asked him to throw it. I think he did a really nice job of that. I think he was like 28 of 44 for 350 yards. Led two-minute drives down the field, the one at the end of the half with about a minute to go down to put the ball in the end zone, and then obviously the one at the end of the game where we were able to go down and get the game-winning field goal. I thought Jeff played really solid. He's really starting to feel comfortable with the receivers. I think Carlos Henderson, the way Carlos played, Cameron McKnight made another big play for us, had 4 big catches, but I think Trent Taylor is really becoming a comfort level right now for Jeff. When you look at Trent Taylor, he gets open and he catches the ball. For a quarterback, that's a pretty good combination, kind of what you're looking for to throw the ball. And I think those guys right now are really starting to build some pretty good chemistry with Trent, Carlos, Cam, and Jeff starting to feel more and more comfortable with those guys. Thought the offensive line had a big day for going up against the best, what I consider to be probably the best front we've played to this point. For them not giving up a sack and throwing the ball 44 times, I thought they really did a nice job up front, especially when you look at Mahaffey and the 2 tackles and Brown and Danielson. I thought really, really played well. And then Jared Kraft stepped in with his first, I want to say, I don't know if it was career start, but it was definitely his first start this season. His second in his career. I thought he stepped in, did a nice job, ran for about 80 yards. We didn't ask him to do a lot, but I thought he protected the ball, and I thought he did a really nice job for us. So and then on special teams, outside of the game-winning field goal, I thought we're okay. I mean, I didn't think it was great, but I certainly don't think it hurt us. And so I think there are a lot of positives in the game, but definitely some things that we can get better on, and some things that we can definitely build on. This week we get ready for Mississippi State. We get a chance to step out of the conference this week, which gives you a chance to kind of take a deep breath. You don't have the conference in front of you right now, and get ready for a non-conference game that very similar to how we prepared for Kansas State, and getting ready for that. This is a really good SEC team. They're 4-2 right now. They're big. They're powerful when you look at them, and they're very athletic, which you would expect from a Southeast Conference football team. I think they're having success. When you look at the success that they had last year, especially they have one of the more heralded quarterbacks in the country. When you look at what he's done, he's thrown 182 passes without an interception. He's big, he's strong, he can run, he can throw. They have a very big offensive line that's very athletic. They have two running backs that are very, very different. One is a big power runner, and the other one is a small scat back, slasher, space type player. And they can do a lot with those two different running backs. Receivers are tall, like you would expect. I think it's a very talented offensive football team when you look at it, but there's no doubt who makes the wheels on the bus go around, and that's the quarterback, who's a very, very talented player who I know is right down the road. It's going to be a great challenge for our defense, and one that I think that our defense is really looking forward to. When you look at them on defense, they've got two guys that are projected first or second round draft picks up front on their defense. Their defensive line is very big, very athletic. Their linebackers are the same. They are built as an SEC West team. Linebackers are 240, 250 pounds. The D-line are all 300 pounds. They're tall, they're lean, they're athletic. They do a great job, and then they're very multiple, knowing that it's a Manny Diaz defense. You know you're going to get not just all that size and power, but you're going to get a scheme that's going to twist your head around a little bit. So it's kind of expect the unexpected going into this game with what we're going to see as an offensive football team. But I've got great respect for Manny and the job that he does from a defensive standpoint. It'll be a great challenge for us on that side of the ball as well. But probably the biggest challenge of the day is going to be special teams. And I say that because you look at them right now, they've got a kick returner that is one of the better ones in the country. I think he's averaging 29 yards a return, which would be one of the best in the country if he had enough returns. And a punt returner that both are very explosive, excuse me, that have the opportunity to take a ball distance at any time. And I think our cover teams are really going to be challenged this week. They got a field goal kicker that hadn't missed yet. It's going to be a good challenge. I mean, you know, you look at all the positives. We're playing a really good football team, a really well-coached football team. But I know it's one that with it being a neighboring state and being close, it's one that I know that our players are really excited about the opportunity to play in this game.
Are you surprised at how well
LSU, who averaged 5 yards a carry, I think it was, and that's what they do. I mean, they turn and get in the eye and toss the ball to one of the best players in college football. But, you know, when you look at some of the others, when you start to look at them against Southern Miss, who I think averaged 2 or 3 yards a carry, I mean, there aren't a lot of people that have had huge success. I think really Texas A&M averaged about 4 yards a carry, and I think LSU averaged 5. Other than that, I mean, I think they do a really good job, but they're just so big. I'd like to have a couple of the offensive linemen from Texas A&M and from LSU to be able to rush against this defense. But they will definitely pose challenges for you. It's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the year plays out, but from what I've seen so far on film, I don't think anybody has consistently been able to get up and move the ball against them.
I mean,
well, when you look at their schedule, really Texas A&M, I think, probably threw the ball more than they ran it. But, you know, you got Auburn that ran it more. LSU threw it 16 times against them, I believe it was. I mean, you've got a lot of people that are lining up and running the ball, but that's what they do. The other teams have kind of tried to spread them. And even when you look at, I think it was Northwestern State that averaged about 2 or 3 yards a carry, but they had, I think it was about an 80-yard run, you know, that split out of there, and outside of that, there wasn't a lot, or maybe it was Troy, there wasn't a lot to talk about. They weren't making first downs pounding the ball, let me put it that way.
Skip, you made a comment about the big play, Blake did the same thing, so obviously that's been a conversation you guys have had in your office a lot, and knowing 40-plus plays or
right.
nationally or something. What do you guys do to get that back on track?
You know, they call them safeties for a reason, you know, because they're the last line of defense. I mean, and when they miss a tackle or take a poor angle, and I think right now we've got to do a better job at safety. We had the first one, Xavier Woods, we were in a three deep, and Xavier Woods was in the middle and kind of came downhill where they had been throwing the ball to the tight end, and that slant got behind him. And on the other one, you've got a young guy in Cooper out there playing two deep who just took a bad angle on it. And we've got to continue to work it and corral it, but this is a big play offensive football team, and they've got a lot of time standing back there and a very talented quarterback who can do a lot of things for them. But we have got to stop giving up the big play defensively, because you look at that game Saturday and you can play a great defensive game, but you give up two plays like we did and 14 points goes on the board in a hurry, and all of a sudden you're in a tie football game. And that's where we've got to be able to do a better job with that, and that's where coming in and practice and taking angles and making sure that we're corralling the ball and not trying to knock the ball out in the back end is one of the biggest things that we need to do. Yep. Jonathan has had a great year, and I know Jonathan is the conference player of the week, I believe, this week. Jonathan is playing with a lot of confidence right now. The way he's been kicking off, the way he's been kicking field goals, but he's come back after his freshman year last year where he probably lost a little bit of confidence, started to question or doubt himself a little bit. But Jonathan is such a competitor, and I think came back with a whole different attitude, where last year that he was in a kicking competition the entire year, just the way he carries himself, the confidence that he goes out there to kick the ball with, it wasn't hard early to see who was going to be your kicker. I mean, really, when it's been a thing where I've really been impressed with the way Jonathan has grown, matured, gained. I mean, because confidence is something as a kicker. You got to bring yourself. You don't get it from your team. You don't get it. You get it from an inner confidence that you're going to go out. And he's got a swagger right now, and he's playing with a stinger, and he's got great confidence. And honestly, this is a good feeling as a coach, but I never even thought about him missing that kick. I mean, that never even entered my mind, even with the long delay and what was going on. It was, we're either going to, you know, predicated on how this turns out. If we've got the ball, I may throw it in the end zone or do something like that if it's a first down. But it never even entered my mind that, wow, if we kick it, he may miss it, which is a good feeling to have that type of confidence. But it's all because of the way that he carries himself right now and the confidence he has in himself, and it's shown in the way that he's kicking. I think he is. I think he was chomping at the bit to get on the field Saturday. You know, last Saturday, probably the biggest cheerleader on the sideline. I even looked at him at one time, and he was running up down the sideline and jumping and waving the towel. And I said, "Are you sure you're hurt?" I mean, just watching him run up down that sideline, it was like, I think you can play. He goes, "I'll play if you want me to." I think he's such a competitor, and I know he wants to play. I know he's excited about having this opportunity. It is a huge challenge, and you sit here and you look at their talent level and their skill sets and what they have in their special teams and their offense and their defense. It's a huge challenge, but it's also a great opportunity, and I think that's what a competitor wants, is that great opportunity. And that's where a guy like Dora and Butler, who are from Mississippi, and Kenneth Dixon, and that's why I think so many of these players are excited about having the opportunity to play in this game.
You keep mentioning the different strengths of Mississippi State, and it seems like there's kind of the notion, just, you know, like, I guess, armchair quarterbacking. For Mississippi State, you remove Dak Prescott, it may not be as much of a challenge. But how much are you trying to get your team to realize, obviously, there's more to this opponent than just their star quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, if you took out Jeff Driskel, we're not as much of a challenge either. And I think no matter what team you look at, when you've got a difference-making quarterback, he's just that he makes a difference. I mean, they make a difference. And Dak is the difference. But when you look at him, very good running backs, very tall receivers, big athletic offensive line, very good defensively, not just in their talent, but what they do schematically, it's going to be a great challenge. And it's not just in the quarterback alone, but I think he's a piece of it. Then the quarterbacks probably get way too much credit and probably take way too much blame at times. But I think this is a very talented team from top to bottom, not just on offense or defense, but as I said, special teams may be the biggest challenge, and it's one of the places that they've made a huge difference with their football team right now is in special teams. I don't know at this point. I mean, I haven't seen him on the field. I won't see him until Tuesday. But I would expect he's going to be fine. I mean, I would, as close as he was Saturday, I would expect that he'll be full go. But we'll learn more as we go through the week.
You showed off your depth at receiver again. You hadn't seen a whole lot of playing time. And you got caught a turf monster on a
yeah. And that's unfortunate that we've had to show all this because it means we've had a lot of injuries too. But there have been some guys that have had the opportunity to step up. And a week before, it was Marcus Gaines with Carlos Henderson being out. And then with Carlos being back, and I thought Carlos competed his tail off. I thought probably had one of his better games since he's been here from top to bottom in the way that he competed. But with him, with Paul Turner not playing, then that left an opportunity for, you know, you got Marcus, Marlon Watts, you've got Sanford C, you got a number of people out there that are getting their opportunity. But I thought Sanford went in, and just like Jalen Ferguson has just been waiting for his opportunity, and we got it, I thought he played really well and did a really nice job. It was nice to see, because as we continue to get injuries as you go through the course of a season, hopefully we can start to get some of these guys back and get them healthy again. But if not, then some of these other guys have to step up, and I'm proud to see some of the progress a lot of these young guys are making. And that's what we talk all the time about in team meeting. I mean, that's why you need depth, and that's why we talked at the very beginning of the year that you don't evaluate the success of a football team on the starting 11 in the off season. And that's what everybody wants to look at, how many returning starters. Well, you're going to win games because guys like Jalen Ferguson come in and play a solid role for you. For guys like Jared Kraft, for Sanford C, for Marcus Gaines, I've never had a successful season where we didn't have backup step up and play a key role for our football team in order to win. And I think that's been one of the keys to our success and why we're able to sit here at 4-2 and have some of the success we've had to this point.
With some of these young players emerging, have they kind of solidified their roles, you know, with Jalen and Cam McKnight, when some of these players do come back from injury that they won't necessarily be bumped back to where they were before?
Well, it's going to give us depth. Then it'll mean that somebody won't have to play 80 plays, but they can both play 40, which is only going to make you a better quality football team when you have that type of depth when some of these guys get back. So they're getting their opportunity, and they're making the most of it, and they're showing that this environment's not too big for them. And I've been proud of the way some of these guys have really stepped up, because I think that's been, as I said, one of the keys to our success. Well, you've got things like signals, you know, I mean, signals that we used while he was here. I mean, and knowing your terminology and things like that. Yeah, those are kind of part of it. And I can remember when Charlie Strong was at South Carolina and left to go to Florida, and he was the D coordinator and had the same thing. And so we'd go in the off season and change all our signals and do a lot of that. But these are some things that we didn't start talking about this week. These are some things that we started with a while ago, but you got to be careful that you don't, in trying to hide everything that you're doing, you confuse your own players. You know, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. One of the advantages that we had with this football team coming back is everybody's in the same offense and the same defense for a second year in a row. So the last thing you want to do is change all your terminology. You just have to make sure that you do a little bit better job of hiding it when you communicate it.
Was that situation you mentioned, was that the following year at South Carolina?
Excuse me?
You just mentioned a situation where you had that in South Carolina. Was that the following year?
He went to Florida, and then we had to play him.
So this isn't new for you then?
No.
You have some experience.
Yes. I mean, in playing somebody that I had coached with for years before, yes.
How much of the success do you, I think I asked you this before, but the success you attribute to Manny, though he's only here, but we can still see his footprint this year, even though he's not here.
No, I said this before. Even knowing Mandy was only going to be here a year, I would have hired him again. I think Mandy did a great job here. I'm very grateful to him. It worked out for Louisiana Tech for this program, and it worked out for Mandy Diaz. And he got an opportunity to get back on that horse again and ride it, and now has even, you know, parlayed that into another opportunity. So I'm happy for him, excited for him, but I think he did a great job here, and I'm very grateful for the job that he did and the attitude that he created with our defense. I mean, I think we've made strides every year, even under Kim Dameron. We made progress from where we were the year before, and then we grew on that last year, and now we're trying to continue to build on that. But I think Mandy did a great job while I was here. Very grateful to him. I think he's a really good football coach. He's a better person, and I wish him nothing but success in every other game of the year but this one.
Is there a true advantage one way or the other? Because, you know, he knows the defense, but you know his defense as well.
Yeah.
You as an offensive guy, you want to get some defense in practice.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that there's one advantage over the other. We're both very familiar with each other, so it's going to be probably for both of us. You may not be able to play your low hole card, you know what I mean, that you normally go to, and you're going to have to be a little bit more, you're going to have to try and break some of your tendencies, because we all have tendencies and we all have certain things we like in certain situations. And I think you've got to make sure that you're maybe not as predictable as you would normally be.
To piggyback off of something that Sean's been asking you for a couple of weeks about Trent Taylor, and nobody's still double teaming him. Is it a shock?
No, I'm not going to say a shock. I think, you know, when you look at it and you go, well, if you're double-teaming Trent, people are going to go, you know, were you not more surprised that people didn't load the box to stop Kenneth Dixon? Were you surprised maybe people weren't a little bit more aware that after six games that Jeff Driscoll can pull the ball and run around the end, that people didn't try and stop that? And I think that's what you try and build as an offense, is weapons and versatility, so people can't be one-dimensional against you. And that was one of the problems we had early when we first got here. We had Kenneth Dixon, but we didn't feel like we had a lot of weapons around him to be able to attack when people tried to just load the box and stop your run game. And so I think that's one of the things that the staff has done a great job of in recruiting and trying to build some weapons. But I think Trent is very talented, and you can double cover Trent, but you got a single cover Paul, Cam, Carlos, you got a single cover Kenneth. You can't double team them all. I mean, and so I think there's I don't want to say I'm shocked. I mean, I think Trent has done a phenomenal job this year. I think he's done a great job. He's a great competitor in critical situations. I think Jeff has a lot of comfort right now in him. And I think if you have three or four guys that aren't playing in the game, if Kenneth's not playing and everything else, then yes, I think I would be surprised if we didn't see a little bit more double coverage with Trent. But with those guys out on the field, I think it's very difficult to double team one. Don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm hoping Paul's back. I mean, obviously, when you're talking about a hamstring situation, you just don't know. So I don't know yet. That's something I'll have to kind of figure out as we get through this week and see where those guys are when you're dealing with soft tissue muscles. I mean, you hope. I think Paul was close last week, and I think he should be good to go this week. But until we get out on the field and just see how he's going to recover, I'm not sure at this point.
I guess looking for advantages, and this may be a reach, but with the early kickoff being 11 a.m., do you expect it? Obviously, the Cowboys are still going to be loud, but maybe a little more subdued than normally considering this early kickoff.
They won't have as much time to drink Diet Coke before the game, so maybe they won't be as caffeinated for the game. But, you know, it'll be a great environment. I know that. I mean, they've got a great fan base. They've got very loyal fans. They're loud. They show up. It'll be a great venue, and it'll be a great atmosphere, and that's part of the excitement and the energy of where we're going and having the opportunity to play this game. So, but 11 o'clock, I mean, you know, you're eating pregame meal at 7 a.m. You know, at 7 a.m., you're eating your pregame meal, getting ready to go. But I kind of like the early kickoff. I mean, because one of the things that I hate is sitting around for a 6 o'clock game and sitting around a hotel all day just waiting to play. This way you get up. I mean, you shower, you brush your teeth, you eat your pregame meal, you go to the stadium and play. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about having the opportunity. But hopefully they won't be as caffeinated that early in the morning.
Will you all practice in the stadium this week and pipe in some
Cowboys? We will. we will definitely address the crowd noise. We'll address it. We have to. I mean, as an offense, and you need to practice it. So it just makes it very hard to communicate. And so you got to learn to communicate with a lot of distractions around you. And the more you practice it, the more comfortable you are in that environment. So we'll definitely do some of that this week.
Last year for Oklahoma, you played Boomer Sooner on repeat for about 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It'll
probably be cowbells. It'll probably be cowbells. It'll be hard to listen to at practice every day, but I think that's what we're going to hear while we're there. I think that's what we're going to hear. So we'll pipe in some crowd noise, just something, even if it's just white noise, to make the guys learn to communicate without being verbal to each other.
How much do you lean on someone like Jeff Driscoll? I know the guys played at Auburn last year, but Jeff has a lot of SEC starts under his belt. I'm sure he can add some insight to the locker room leading up to Saturday.
He will. And I think he'll have a calming effect for a lot of guys on offense, just as he has not only in last week's game but at Kansas State, because he has been there. And like I said, the more you're in those type of venues and environments, the more comfortable you become in them. And I think Jeff's been very poised and very calm. And I think that's one of the reasons that he's so successful with what he's done in the two-minute drives, is because he's very heady, he's very smart, he's very calm, and he's got everything under control.
What's Cam McKnight done this season to really take this game? I say the next level, but he's only 6 games into his career.
He's got three and a half more years to go. What Cam has done, Cam was a running back in high school. He's learned to play the game as a receiver. I think he's getting a great feel, a great understanding. He's getting better fundamentally at a lot of things. I think last year was really good for him, and I think Joe Sloan has done a great job of taking a talent like Cam and really teaching him some of the finer things about being a receiver. And I think he is just growing, developing, getting better fundamentally. He hadn't gotten any taller or bigger, you know what I mean, maybe a little bit stronger, but I think he's gotten more comfortable as a wide receiver and what's going on and what we're trying to do and how we're trying to attack it and understanding the offense and how he fits into it. And I think it's been great to see a lot of these young guys, not just Cam, but a lot of these young guys grow up in this offense and in this defense a little bit. I look at Aaron Robertson and the way he's playing right now. I think as a special teams player, I think he's going to be one of those future stars. I mean, just watching him on the field, this venue isn't too big for him, getting on the field, he shines in the light. You know, he doesn't hide in it. He really shines in it, and I've just seen, even though he hasn't had the opportunity to have that breakout performance, but I think he's a guy that's only going to get better and better, and he's going to be a huge star here, just like Cam. The more comfortable he feels, the more reps he gets. And there's a lot of these young guys that are having the opportunity this year with some of the injuries we've had.
Have you sensed any eagerness with Blake or anything different? You just sitting here listening for 5 minutes talking about the City State going up against him. You can tell that it means something to him that he just ended up being.
I think for Blake, I mean, Manny was a mentor. Manny was the defensive coordinator when he was a graduate assistant. And then having the opportunity to kind of, I don't want to say grow up, but to grow into this defensive mindset, and I think learn so much that he did from Manny and the way Manny took him under his wing. I think this is it's going to be an exciting opportunity for Blake. It's not Blake versus Manny, you know, I mean, obviously, because they're both on the defensive sides of the ball, but I think he's excited about the challenge of standing across the field from a guy that he learned so much from and has so much respect for.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.